First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. This is the reading of God's word. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, we pray that you will grant us an ear to hear, that you will work in us so that we may understand and believe your word and obey. And Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow, and with that growing faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ and the reality of heaven that he has already accomplished for us. Oh, Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and that you would cause all of us to hear and believe and understand and know and obey your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Finally, we come to chapter 3. Took us a long time to come here. We come to a story that is very familiar. A story of God calling Samuel. Now, before we get into our studying of this chapter verse by verse, there's one thing I must say before we go on. Is our passage teaching us that if we obey and serve God faithfully like Samuel, then we could expect God to come to us and directly speak to us audibly today? That he speaks of our spiritual, personal spiritual life where we desire to hear him, hear God's voice. Are we to seek that kind of personal experience, Christian experience, hearing his voice audibly? And this topic is, well, for us, it's not important as much, but because of what is going on out there, we must address it. How does God speak to his people today? To answer that, let us go to Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to deal with this kind of things during Friday Bible study too. So we're not going to spend too much time on this. But Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 and 2a, meaning only the first portion of chapter verse 2. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days are spoken to us in his Son. Here, the whole history is divided into two periods. Long ago and these last days. And obviously, long ago is referring to the Old Testament time. And these last days is the New Testament. That's when Jesus comes. First coming, we're not talking about second coming, and he spoke to his people directly. So these last days, with the coming of Jesus, the last days are already here. And you know, we've been talking about that for a long time now. But long ago and these last days, God speaks differently. Long ago, how did God speak? In many portions and in many ways. Old Testament was not written all at once. Took from time of Moses, because he wrote the first books, many, many years to finish the Old Testament. Like 1600 years. So Moses brought God's word. Then many, many years passes, centuries and centuries. Then someone else brings, another prophet brings God's word. So in many portions, God spoke to his people. But not only many portions, but it says many ways, in many ways. Yes, in the Old Testament and beginning of the New Testament when the Bible was not completed yet, God spoke in many ways through visions, through dreams. Well, he even came directly to people and spoke, like he spoke to Cain, Abraham, and Moses. But that was long ago. But in these last days, meaning after Jesus came, Jesus came and spoke, and his disciples wrote his words all in the first century. It's now no longer many portions. God's word was written in, you know, relatively very short period compared to the Old Testament. And this is what you and I believe, that Jesus is the last prophet. There are many ways we could tell whether a group is heretical or not, but one of those ways is that if they have a prophet after Jesus, then we're suspicious. We believe Jesus brought the complete revelation of God, meaning that there is no more revelation after Jesus. Jesus completes it. He perfects it. He's the last prophet. As a last prophet, he perfectly revealed all of God's will completely. Everything that God wanted us, his people, to know is in the Bible. Because Jesus has revealed God's will completely and perfectly. So after Jesus, no more revelation. Thus, what we have in the 66 books of the Bible, 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 books of the New Testament, in these 66 books of the Bible, we have the complete and perfect revelation of God. Now I say again, no more revelation of God comes to his people apart from the Bible anymore. And he speaks, God speaks to his people today through the written word of God, the Bible. He no longer speaks to us in many ways, especially not through audible means. He no longer speaks to us through dreams or visions. And this is what the Reformed theology maintained from a long time now. What I don't understand is they call themselves Reformed churches and somehow they changed. But our tradition goes very long. Not that we believe that tradition is above the word, but Reformed theology, Reformed churches maintain that revelation of God has ceased at the completion of the Bible, 66 books of the Bible. Yeah, nowadays we have clearly written Word of God. We believe that this is the Word of God. Now, let's say you had a dream and you want to believe that somehow through dream God spoke to you. How do you know that that was God? What gives you 100% certainty that that was God? The perfect age has come. We have written word of God. You come here and you know that this is the word of God. Apart from this, you're not going to have 100% certainty, I don't care what it is, that it is from God and it is God's message is in that. Those were the Old Testament when it was not perfect age. But we go backward. See, they think that Old Testament was better age. Man, I wish I could see God, you know, parting the Pacific Ocean and just raining down the manna today, man. I will believe. That would be much easier for me to believe. Well, Old Testament people, they saw all that, and yet they did not believe. You read the Bible. Faith comes from, Bible says, Romans 10:17, faith comes from seeing, touching, or hearing of the word. So obviously they saw what God has done, but their faith was not growing. Because God's way is that faith comes from hearing the word. Just like what you're doing right now. Hearing the word. This is God's way of maturing your faith. Bible tells us that that is so. Well, before I move on, I have to say one thing. And if you have any question about this, talk to me. We could talk about it during Friday Bible study or anytime you want. Or one-on-one Bible study that I have with most of you. So talk to me about this. But I have to say this before we go on, that general revelation include what we call God's providence. Now, God's providence is not God's special revelation as we understand the Bible to be. But we could know God's will from God's providence only after the event is over. But we will never know what God wants me to do in the future. You could think whatever, but you don't have 100% certainty that that's what God wants you to do. But when you read the Bible, it says, love one another. Whoa, we are 100% sure that that is what God is telling me to do. Let's love. But providence, what happens in your life, you will never be able to have 100% certainty that, that whatever you think it is what God wants you to do. And you are not to seek these imperfect things when you're seeking God's will. You're called to come to the Bible. But we know through providence when event is over that we know for sure what God wanted me. Like today, you're sitting here. I could claim that it was God's will. It is God's will that you are here today. But I don't know God's will for you 2 hours later. But I know that it was God's will that you are here at this time. Because I see it. It's past. Then I know. But the people use this providence in understanding what God wanted them to do in the future. That is dangerous. For clear will of God, you come to the Bible. It's written for you. It's clearly written. Well, you might say, oh, yeah, it's clear to you, Pastor. You know, I read it. You know, it's not that clear. You know what I mean, though. It's clearly written. You study it, you could find out what he means. So, brothers and sisters, do not seek these things to know the will of God. Come to the Bible. We are able to know for certain the will of God when we come to the written word of God, the Bible. All the signs and wonders of the Old Testament are inferior to the complete written revelation of God. They are inferior to the Bible. If you really think about it, signs and wonders, they are connected to the world. There will be no signs and wonders in heaven. Only as long as this earth lasts. Am I denying the supernatural? No, then I should not be a Christian pastor. God could do whatever He wants to do, even today. If God wanted to speak to you directly, He could. But He does not do that. Because we have the complete will of God written down. It's not about that God cannot do. It's about what He is actually doing. Yes, God heals sick people even today. But He doesn't use these special people, and you have to go to that special people to be healed. No, God heals you even if you don't go to that special person. I had allergy symptoms. Oh, it was bad this morning, and I took Claritin, and I believe God used Claritin to help me to breathe easier today. What, that is not what God has done? Even when you take Tylenol, God calls somebody to invent Tylenol, and He uses that Tylenol to heal you. What, that's not God's work? It's only when some mysterious power has come to you. No. Holy Spirit lives in me all the time. I have whole supernatural in me. I am supernatural being. Oh yes, I believe in supernatural. Because I am one. Because He saved me out of this world and made me a citizen of heaven. And now Holy Spirit lives in me. God is always with me. Here in the early chapters of 1 Samuel, we are looking at the transition from the priesthood of Eli to the priesthood of Samuel. And we've been looking at this from chapter 1 on, so I'm not going to repeat all of it. But this transition from Eli to Samuel, it typologically points to the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So here Samuel is type Jesus. But not real Jesus, type Jesus. He just points to Jesus. It shows you in the Old Testament version what Jesus will do when He comes later. Samuel is one of the most important figures in the Old Testament, even though you might not think so. You know, if I ask you, who will be the important people in the Old Testament, I don't think you will say Samuel. Maybe Moses, Abraham, David. Oh, we will meet David soon in 1 Samuel later, but you have to wait. Let's go to Psalm chapter 9. Well, you don't say Psalm chapter 99. 99th Psalm. Verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron were among his priests. And Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillars of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 1 says, Then the Lord said to me, Even though Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not be with his people. Send them away from my presence and let them go. He says, Even though Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart will not change. Moses and Samuel are spoken by God as the equal level, if you will. And why is this? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 18. God says to Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 18. God says to Moses, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You shall say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the things does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. So, there's a couple things here. God says, I will raise up like a prophet like Moses. And God will give him the word to speak, and all people will listen to him. But there's this side note here. How do you know that that person is actually from God? Well, it says, if that prophet comes and he speaks, and if it doesn't come true, then he's fake, and you should kill him. But that was long ago. How do you know that a person is from God today? How do you know that I am a pastor that God has ordained? How do you know I'm not a fake? You say to me, perform a miracle. Well, I can't. Well, just the fact that I'm standing here and speaking to you about the gospel, that's a miracle, but I don't think you will take that. How do you know that I'm from God today? Back then, it was that they perform or they say things and it will happen and you know that I'm speaking word of God from this. If I say what is in here, then I am from God. If I don't. If pastor doesn't say what the Bible says, or say something that is contrary to what the Bible says, then you know. Problem is, you don't know what the Bible says, so that whatever pastor says, you don't know whether that's in the Bible or not, so you don't know. You have to be diligent in studying the Bible. Otherwise, man, you'll be deceived. And those pastors who do not speak what the Bible says, in the Old Testament terms, we should kill them. But of course, we're not going to kill those people today. But it just shows how serious that sin is. Believe me, brothers and sisters, there's nothing I'd rather do than being a pastor. But at the same time, if it is up to me, I will quit today. What man is able to do this, bringing God's word? Only reason I'm doing it is because I tried to quit. You know, first year, I tried to quit so many times. But every single time in my heart, it's just so certain that God called me to do this. And not to do it will be, my life will be in disobeying God for, you know, like all my life I'll be disobeying God. That's actually worse than whatever suffering or things that I have to endure. That's worse. I do it because God called me to do it. But I have to tell you that there's nothing more satisfying for me. I'm not saying it's to you, but for me than this. But at the same time, it's so overwhelming that I can't handle it. But that's why whenever, you know, most of you have one-on-one Bible study with me, you know, these days. Very first thing I say to you is what? Whatever I say, you ask the question, where is in the Bible? Show me. You demand that. Where is it in the Bible? Because if it is not in the Bible, I should not tell you whatever I say to you. God did not put pastor behind the pulpit so he could speak whatever he wants to. It has to be what the Bible says. And my job is to explain so that, you know, I have to say a lot of things to explain this, proclaim this. Demand, where is it in the Bible? You see this church, whatever we do, you know, elders or anybody, whatever we do, all the activities or whatever they say, you ask, where is it in the Bible that you do that? Because if it's not in here, we should quit. We should stop. And I'm very serious about this. You know, don't just let church go away from the truth. It's your responsibility as the member of this church to make sure that our church remains faithful to the word. And don't think that, oh, just because you say, where is it in the Bible, now you become bad Christian because you're questioning a pastor. Questioning a pastor. Yes, especially pastors you have to question. Especially pastors. Question. Obviously, you could see I'm passionate about this, right? Here, God says, I will raise up a prophet like Moses, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him. All of the things that he speaks will come true. And we see that in the person of Samuel, all of that is being fulfilled. That Samuel is a prophet like Moses. But later on you will see that only typologically. Because he's not the true prophet like Moses, because that is Jesus Christ. But within the context of Old Testament, Samuel is a prophet like Moses. So whatever that God promises in the Old Testament, you will always see the fulfillment of that promise in two stages. First, the fulfillment will come within the Old Testament as a typological fulfillment. Then you will see the true fulfillment in Jesus Christ when he comes. So here, that is what we're seeing. Because in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel 19 says, "Thus Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail." So everything Samuel said, it came true. And chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Then the word of Samuel came to all Israel. A prophet like Moses, I will give him the word, and he will say whatever I give him to all God's people, and everybody will listen, and everything he says will come true." And that we see in Samuel's life. And even the calling of Samuel reminds us of a calling of Moses. There in Exodus chapter 3, God calls Moses twice. Moses, Moses. And here in chapter 3, verse 10, God calls Samuel. Well, he calls Samuel once, three times, but the fourth time he says, "Samuel, Samuel," he calls twice. And Acts chapter 3, verse 24, "And likewise all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announced these days." So the writer of Acts actually divides prophets into whoever came before Samuel and whoever came after Samuel. Do you see it? Samuel, from Samuel, something new is beginning. The old is passing away and the new has come. Eli is judged and the priesthood of Eli is passing away. Samuel is raised up as the new priest. And we will see that in this chapter. And today and next week, we're going to look at this. And if you go to chapter 3, verse 1, this is what we read. "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent." This is how it was under the priesthood of Eli. The word of God is rare. Visions infrequent. But under Samuel, things are different. Verses 19. "Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his word fail." Verse 21, "And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." It's not rare anymore. The word of the Lord comes frequently now. Chapter 4, verse 1, "Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel." Something's different under Eli and under Samuel. Something is different, and you see that transition, and what you're looking at is a typological transition from Old Testament to New Testament. Eli is passing away. Samuel is raised up. God is with Samuel. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. "It happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place." Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And we're going to look at this whole chapter as a new creation next week. New creation where the darkness, God says, "Let there be light." That was creation. And that is exactly what you're seeing in Eli. It's dark. In Samuel, light shines. But here, where does Eli lay or lie? Well, in his place. We don't know what that is. In his place, somewhere in the temple. But where does Samuel lie? Chapter 3, verse 3. "And the lamp of the God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." This is truly amazing. Now, we know that the temple was not built at this time. You have to wait until Solomon's time. But at Shiloh, it's, you know, temple before temple, if you will. But structure will be similar. Where is he? In the place where the Ark of God is. That's in the Holy of Holies. Now, it's unbelievable that he would be able to go into Holy of Holies and lying there where the Ark of God is. Don't ask me how this happened or that. I don't know, but that's what the Bible says. The Ark of God pointed to the throne of God. Samuel is right there at the front of God's throne. He's with God. Do you see it? The transition. Eli, God judges, but God is with Samuel. God judges the Old Testament priesthood, but God is with Jesus Christ, the new priest. God's word was not yet revealed to Samuel, but by the time of verse 11 and 19 and 21, Samuel does know God, and God's word is revealed to him. In fact, this is what we read in chapter 4, verse 1a. The word of Samuel came to all Israel. By the end of this story, is it as if word of Samuel is equal to word of God? That's how frequently God's word now comes to his people whenever Samuel speaks. But under Eli, God's word was rare. Compared to the period of Eli, God's word is given to his people through Samuel in a more complete and effective way. No more the word from the Lord is rare or visions infrequent. See the transition from the Old Testament to New Testament? Do you see it typologically there? In chapter 2, the man of God comes and declares to Eli the coming judgment, and we see no response from Eli. But in chapter 3, when Samuel tells Eli about the coming judgment, we see Eli's response. Verse 18b, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Samuel's words come to Eli in a more effective way. Again, we see the transition from Old Testament to New Testament in a typological way. But remember, all are types in the Old Testament. Even Samuel is a type. He is not the person who perfectly fulfills the will of God. We must wait for the better one, Jesus Christ. Because Samuel was pointing to Jesus Christ, who will come and completely and perfectly fulfill what Samuel was doing typologically. Because if you read after 1 Samuel, like Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 12, Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 26, we don't have time to read it. It says that, again, God's word is rare. So Samuel did not completely, perfectly fulfill it. There will be a time where God's words are, again, rare. But Jesus, he comes. In Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 20, and that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you. So he's talking about Jesus Christ, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. So Peter here is, you know, speaking in this chapter, and he says that, you remember that God's promise that a prophet like Moses, that is Jesus Christ. That is what he's saying. In Mark chapter 9, verse 7, at the Mount Transfiguration, God says to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Jesus is the true prophet like Moses. Through Jesus Christ, the complete and the perfect revelation of God is given to his people. All of revelation of God is now written for us in the 66 books of the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is with us now, and he illumines God's word for us so that we may know the word and believe and obey. Let's wrap this up, but I want you to think about something here. Do you know how blessed you are? Especially those people who, you know, time to time complain about your life. Ask this question: am I blessed? Amazing grace has come upon you. Because you now live in a period in which complete and perfect God's revelation is given to you. You now live in a period in which you don't have to say, "Word from the Lord is rare." You know how blessed you are. All the Old Testament people, without hesitation, change position with you. You live in a period where God's revelation is perfectly, completely given. You have the complete, the perfect revelation of God, and God speaks to you always through his word. All you have to do is come to the Bible. He speaks to you. These people under Eli, even if they seek the word of God, it wasn't given to them. Do you understand that situation? What if that there's no word of God today? That no matter where you search, that you're not going to hear his voice. That is hell. Yes, in hell, God will not speak to those people. Forever, God will not speak to those people. That is hell. How blessed you are. The complete revelation is always at your fingertips. Man, Old Testament God's people look forward to this period. They look forward to Jesus coming, the Messiah coming, who will bring the complete revelation of God. And that has already happened. And you are the recipient. You are the witnesses of that happening already. Listen to God. He speaks through his word. Listen and believe and obey. Do you understand how blessed you are because of this? Because God not speaking is, like I said, that is what hell is all about. Eternal judgment is God not speaking to you. But even today, you come to hear God. Do not, brothers and sisters, do not live your life as if you are living in a period in which God's word is rare because your laziness. That is grave sin. Every time you come to the worship, every time you come to Bible study, every time you open your Bible, just realize how blessed you are. God is speaking to you. Come and listen. Just like Mary, come at his feet and just listen. Because God's word is what creates the whole universe. And it is his word which recreates us as a new creation. The powerful word of God is making us like Jesus Christ every day as you hear his word. Come to the Bible and listen to God and realize how blessed you are. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, indeed, we are blessed, God. Let us truly realize this. How blessed we are to have the complete and perfect revelation of God. Not only that, you have sent your Holy Spirit who now lives in us. And he works in us so that we may understand that word. That we may believe that word. That we may obey. Oh, Father, how blessed we are. Let us give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.